If you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be going kind of through Acts in the next few months, half a year, whatever. But we have a great gospel in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at the book of Acts. It's a beautiful book. Start out with verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That is a beautiful passage of scripture. And Christians who, we have a beginning here in the book of Acts. Today churches have a form of godliness, but we don't have the power that they had in the book of Acts. You ever thought about that? We have the cross to pardon us, but we've never had Pentecost for the power in our churches and in our lives. And we all know chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for what we've already heard and seen through the lives of these children and their praise to you. And Lord, may they never forget the blessings that you have let them have growing up in a church with people who love them, spend time with them, willing to take them and do things like they got to do at camp. And especially learn and hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, that one day you might call them to preach, you might call them to be missionaries, you might call them to be leaders in their church. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We have a society today that loves power, don't we? If you don't believe it, you look at the sports world. Everybody's wanting that power. You look at the financial world, they want power. You look at the countries, the nations in the world, they want military power. They all want power. But what we need is the power of the gospel in our lives. You see, the power of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has power to change our lives. Oh, we need power tonight. We need power in our churches to tell others about the amazing story of Jesus Christ, how he will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory that he has for us. And as we look at the book of Acts, as we look at the scripture, we're going to look at the purpose and the promise and the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love the way it starts. The writer of Acts. How many of you know who wrote Acts? All right, I'll take for granted everybody knows Luke wrote Acts. If you didn't know that, don't raise your hand. Luke was a physician known as the beloved physician. And Luke is writing, we see in verse 1, Theophilus. We don't know exactly who he was, but we have reason to believe that Theophilus was an important official. And Luke is trying to explain the basic principles of the gospel of the Christian faith. And he says, "I am writing you, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus Christ began to do and to teach." And if you go back in the book of Luke, he starts with a baby Jesus. I love Luke. I love to read the Christmas story every year. I love Luke because it's got Christ in the cradle. It's got Jesus' boyhood in Nazareth when he was a young man. We read about in Luke the Jesus healing of the sick and raising the dead. Oh, what power we find in the book of Luke. We read about Jesus and we come to Pilate and we come to Herod. And we read about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read about the ascension of Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Acts, after the ascension, we have the continuation. Now, the book of Acts is an exciting book. It's a book of the history of the local church and the power of God in the churches and how the gospel of Jesus Christ spread to all people. In Luke, Christ was working in the physical body. But in Acts, we see Jesus Christ continuing his work in the power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual body of the church. And today, the church, the believer, is the temple of God. We are where the Holy Spirit dwells in our life. And Jesus says, or Luke says here in Acts, all that Jesus began to do and to teach, I'm going to tell about. You see, Christ started what he was doing, and Luke is continuing on in the book of Acts. Now, in the book of Acts, if you didn't have the book of Acts, the Bible to me just wouldn't be complete. You'd have, we studied about this morning, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what comes after Acts? Romans. Okay? If you didn't have the book of Acts, man, it'd be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and wow. You start in Romans. And you would never know about a key man. You would never have that road to Damascus experience where Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. You come to Rome, Romans, and Paul is in prison for his faith. And you have no idea where you are. You see, the book of Acts is a very important continuation of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And Acts is a transitional book, and it takes us from the Gospels and the life of Jesus Christ to the church where we are tonight, continuing to do God's work. You see, that's what the book of Acts is all about. Now, in verse 2, I like verse 2. He says, of all that Jesus Christ began to do and to teach. And then he says, until the day in which he was taken up. You see, after he'd given us the commandments. And what does he tell the church in Matthew 28? He says, go ye therefore into what? All the world and teach and preach and make disciples of people. And we as believers are commissioned tonight. You have a great commission in your life. We as a church have something to do because of what Jesus Christ began to do. And he says it's our responsibility. And I'm putting a lot of, and he puts a lot of responsibility on our lives, folks. Our lives, your life, my life, every one of us have a responsibility, and it's simply to go and tell. I thank God for, I was telling someone the other day, I'm just so glad Brother Richard got a chance to go on a mission trip to a foreign country, to Ethiopia. If ever you get an opportunity to go on a mission trip for God, go out there and do something like that. You need to do it. It'll show you and teach you the importance of preaching and teaching the gospel, not only here in Gun Barrel, not only here in Henderson County, not only here in a wonderful state of Texas and the United States of America, But all over the world, the gospel needs to be carried, folks. There's people lost out there, and God wants them saved. And he says, as you go, he said, make disciples. Disciples are followers. So we ought to be working in our life after we've been saved to teach someone else, to mentor someone else in the Christian life, to tell them and let them learn about Jesus Christ. Bring people, he simply says, to that saving knowledge of Christ. And that's what the church is all about. Win the lost and help them grow. That's our job. Win the lost and help them grow. Folks, that's the reason I harp on commitment to your church. That's the reason I talk about all the time, you need to be in a Bible study. You need to be where you can hear the word. You need to be where you can soak that word in and meditate on that word and learn that word, because you know what? You're not going to grow properly until you get the right spiritual food. And you're not going to get it off the television set. You're not going to get it out in the world. You're going to get it in a Bible study time, reading the Bible. Now, people tell me all the time, well, preacher, you know, when I sit down and read the Bible, I just don't quite understand it. That's the reason you need a Bible study. That's the reason you need to come to a Bible class, so that there's other people there and you can read those passages of scriptures together and you can have someone explain that to you, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be there and he will quicken it to your heart and you'll see it for the first time. That light will come on in your life. We're given the purpose of our continuation in the book of Acts. We're given the commandments of our continuation in the book of Acts. And we are given the confirmation that one, Jesus Christ, is alive. I love that passage of scripture. In verse 3, it says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days. You see, I know that Jesus Christ arose. I don't have to have these infallible proofs. I believe it. I trust God. But you know, it's good that others saw him after he arose. It's good that he didn't leave that out of the Bible. It's good that he did appear so others like old Thomas would know that he was alive. It's good that he can explain the, it explains the empty tomb. It's good that we can have the appearances to many individuals and groups. It's good that these disciples were, you know, let me tell you something. These disciples were no different from you and I. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, they were, I would say they were defeated. They were just simply shocked. They were delusioned. They thought that somehow he would overcome that and he would just wipe them all out, I think. They had the same thinking I had. Man, if that had been me, I just want to get back at all of them and just wipe them out. But that's not Christ's way, is it? And they needed some convincing, just like sometimes we need convincing. So the Bible says he showed himself. He showed himself to them. 1 John 1:9 says, that which our eyes have seen and our ears, not only did they see him, they heard him. And then they said, not only that, our hands have touched him. We handle him. And they come to that conclusion that he's alive. He is who he says he was. He is the risen Savior. He showed himself alive, and Jesus Christ did come back alive. He is who he says he is. He's the Savior of the world. He has power over death, and he's going to continue to do his wonderful work. And folks, we get to part in carrying that work on. So that's the purpose of the church, to make disciples, to spread the gospel. Now, let's look at the promise. In verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but what? To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you, he says, shall receive power. And we read that. And the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the promise. Jesus says, first, listen to this. Matthew says, I want you to go to all the world. Go ye and make disciples of all the world. I want you to go. And then he says, wait a minute. Before you go, you got to tarry a little while. You've got to wait a little while. You've got to sit down a little while. Go, wait, go, wait, tarry, go. It gets me kind of confused, don't you? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is simply pointing out to these men, listen, you cannot do nothing on your own. You cannot go until you have the divine power to go. And folks, that's the way we are as a church. We can't do anything unless God is in it. Unless God gives us the power in our lives. And that divine power will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the church. Now, let me tell you something. The moment you believe today, the Bible says he seals you with his Spirit. He gives you his Spirit, and you've got the power in your life. Now, folks, we need to believe that. But, you know, that Spirit is there. But, you know, the old sinful nature is also there. You know, even though we're born again from above and have the Holy Spirit, we're just like the Bible says, babes in Christ. You just begin to crawl. You just begin to learn the truth. That's the reason, once again, it's important to receive the power of God, to let that power well up in you, be filled with the Spirit of God, as we talked about. Maybe that was a different lesson, but I can't remember when we talked about it. But he said, be filled with that Spirit. I think that was at the wedding I'd done. Excuse me. I was talking to the couple who got married and told them, you know, in a marriage, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a marriage so you can overcome the struggles that you have in marriage. It's the same way in the Christian life, man. You just can't jump out there and do it on your own. We like to think we can sometimes. And a young Christian, sometimes they jump out there, they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and the old devil cuts them down because they haven't grown. And a lot of times they're like, you know, the word falls on that good seed, and if we're not careful, the old devil will come out and take it, smash us down, damage us. But man, if we've got the power of God in our lives and we've been discipled by our Lord and in his word, man, you're able to put on that armor. You're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Peter told them the promise in chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, this is that filling. This is that which is over in Joel. And he promised, God promised us as he went back to heaven. He said, John baptized you with water. But you know what? I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is where the power was infused with the Christian life, making it possible to have the witness, the witness of God to be spread abroad. You see, Peter, when he was called to preach, or Peter, when he was with Jesus Christ, said, Lord, if everybody else fails you, you know I'm not going to fail you. Man, I'm going to stay with you all the way. And Jesus says, Peter, you don't know what you're talking about. You see, that's that young person that just jumps on board. And he said, you know, I can do this. And he says, you got to have the power. Old Peter denied Christ three times. But over in the book of Acts, after he received the power, man, he wasn't going to deny Jesus. He was going to preach the word. I believe it was him who said, silver and gold, is that right? Have I none but in the name of Jesus, man. Rise up and walk. You see, that's the power of a changed life. And on the day of Pentecost, that mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit brought the church literally into existence. And they begin to move. They begin to do things that, oh, we wish we had today. Folks, we can have it. But it's going to take that same kind of being still, hearing the word of God, getting our lives right with God. The promise precedes the power. Verse 6, look at verse 6. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Now, they were right in terms of faith. Jesus taught that the Father would restore the kingdom of Israel. But they were simply wrong in their timing. A lot of times we get a little bit of knowledge and we jump forward too quick. And God says, ye shall be filled with the power and ye shall be witnesses unto me, but you tarry until you receive it. You don't have to worry about the kingdom of heaven. It'll come. You know, I like that book of Revelation. I guess everybody does. You want to get a crowd in the Baptist church, you have somebody teach on the book of Revelation. Ain't that right? You want a crowd in any church, just get out a sign out front that says, we're going to be teaching on the book of Revelation. Everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry will come to hear book of Revelation. But you know, I'm all excited about it, but that's not what God told us to do. He said, you just tarry there and you just continue on doing what I tell you to do until I come. What is a witness? A witness is one who's seen something and can say something about what's going on. If Jesus is real in your life, if Jesus is real in your life, and your life has been changed by God, then let me tell you something. You can witness to somebody. Amen? That was a very small amen. I think I only heard Brother Jay down here. I think some of you are asleep. But you know, that's true. Some people say, well, I can't witness. All you have to do is tell about how real Jesus Christ is to you. And if he's real in your life, and your life has been changed by that, go tell somebody about that change. So, you've got the purpose in the book of Acts right here in chapter 1. And you've got the promise of the Holy Spirit given. But look at the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was what? He was taken up in a cloud. And that cloud received him out of their sight. Man, I'd like to have been there that day. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, they saw two men by them in white apparel. Now, these weren't two guys that just come along to join them that day. The Bible says these two men appeared in white apparel. And they said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing into heaven? What are you doing? What are you doing just standing here? Gazing. You know, I want to think sometimes that that's what we're doing. We get saved in our life and we just sit down and gaze. And we gaze. And we're wasting away the time of our life by gazing when we ought to be doing something. He said, why do you stand here gazing? The same Jesus that was taken up from you, he's coming back. And friends, knowing that he's coming back ought to get us to quit gazing and start doing something for him. I can see those angels of glory lining the streets, rejoicing as Jesus Christ comes through those gates. And then on earth, as the disciples stare in the cloud, these two guys say, listen, don't get caught up in all of this. Why don't you be soul winners? Why are you standing here? Why don't you do something? Get busy for the Lord, for He is coming back and He's giving you a job to do. That's the church, folks. Why don't we get busy? Why don't we get busy doing for Him? You know, a lot of times we're busy, aren't we? But we're not busy doing what God wants us to do. We need to be busy sharing the gospel. I don't even know if I told you the story about Brother Richard a while ago. I said, I'm glad Brother Richard got to go on this mission trip. You know why I'm glad he got to go on this mission trip? Because I've been praying that God would burn in his heart a call to reach the world for Christ while he's there. Give him that desire to see missions for Christ. You know, you don't have to go over there to be a missionary. Somebody's got to stay here. Somebody's got to raise money. Somebody's got to bring disciples around. Somebody's got to send them. You see? How can they hear without a preacher? And I believe that's God's calling to his church today. Not only make disciples and all of that at home, but go tell Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. You see, I pray that every one of us will be set on fire for missions just to spread. Tell somebody about Jesus. We ought to live our lives every day as this might be the day Jesus Christ would come back. And you know, if we lived our lives that way, we'd want to be telling everybody we can about Jesus Christ. We'd want to be seeing our neighbors come to Jesus Christ. We'd want to be seeing these boys and girls come to Jesus Christ. Because if he comes back and they're not ready, they won't be going with us. Well, as we look at this book of Acts in the coming months, we won't just go through it verse by verse. We won't go through it chapter by chapter. As time God leads, I'll be preaching on some other subjects. But I'm going to look at the book of Acts because our church can be a powerful church. And God has blessed us, church. He has given us a congregation. And there are some great, great days ahead of us, folks. And I believe we have great blessings for the future of this church. God has given us some power. He's given us power to be witnesses. So let us be witnesses. And let us win the lost, dying world to Jesus Christ. And let us tell everybody that Jesus lives. Folks, does he live within your heart? Is there somebody here tonight that has never let Jesus Christ into their heart? You see, when I look at a church congregation and I think, well, they're all saved here tonight, I think to myself, why then we get some lost people to come? Why don't we bring some lost people to church so that they can hear the message? You see, I believe that's what we need to be doing, folks. It's good to say, oh, we're all home folks tonight, but in a way that's bad, isn't it? It ought to be filled with lost people wanting to hear the gospel message. That's what we're about. Telling, making disciples. Telling, making disciples. And we can only do that when we let the power of God get into our lives. And that can only be done when we commit our lives to being filled with the Spirit of God on a daily basis. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ, won't you come simply by faith, trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you're here tonight and you're a believer, which I probably would imagine most of you are, Won't you come and be filled with the power of God? You're not too old. It's for all ages. And let me tell you something. If you're sitting there and you say, you know, I don't have any power. I'm talking to you. You need to be down here getting that power. If you're sitting there and saying, well, I don't know if I can witness, then you need to be down here saying, Lord, help me be a witness. Change my life that I might be a witness. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the count. We thank you for these boys and girls. And Lord, as we start looking at a church on fire for God, a church powerful for God, Lord, I pray that you'll make us, you'll revive our hearts in a way that we just can't sit still. We want to be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. We want to be doing something to bring others to Christ. Lord, let us this year just invite one lost person to come. Just witness to one lost person in our year. And Lord, I know you'll bless it. For it's in your precious name we ask it. Amen.